everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program, The Buckmaster Show, on this Tuesday, almost the middle of March already, March 14th, 2023. Our show now in its 13th year, broadcasting from The Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That's the live stream at buckmastershow.com. The live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will begin by going to the state capitol and state house representative in legislative district number 18. Nancy Gutierrez joins us. District 18, a large portion of Tucson, including the Tucson foothills. Nancy has taught yoga at Tucson High for 10 years. She was the physical education department chair for 5 years, currently on the safety committee at Tucson High Magnet School. And she's a one-time president of the Tucson National Organization for Women. Representative Gutierrez, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. And well, you are at where, you know, where I usually am in my home when I'm not at the legislature. At Green Things. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Green Things is wonderful. We're not actually at Green Things, but they have the naming rights to our studio here.
Gotcha.
And we're just so delighted that they're a part of what we do here.
Yes.
So
yes.
Here we are. As a freshman lawmaker, what are some of your impressions before we take a dive into where things are?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's great to be a freshman again. I am learning so much every day, and it gives me great empathy for my students at Tucson High. I really love it. I didn't know what to expect, and the first couple of weeks were difficult to be away from my classroom and to just be away from my family, my dogs, all that good stuff. But after that, I'm really enjoying the process and just meeting so many wonderful people here at the house.
You had run on a platform, Nancy, to ensure that Arizona sets public education teachers and students as a priority. Well,
yes.
Let me put it this way. Yes, Republicans, mainly lawmakers, have set that as a priority, but I don't think in a good way. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
I mean, it's one thing after another, it seems like, about
it sure is.
Kind of micromanaging Arizona public education.
Not only that, I agree with that completely, but not only that, but really trying to take so many public dollars and put them into more public schools. This year, we've seen so many bills that would take from our public money and give to public universities for lots of programs, many of which weren't even asked for by those universities. And I have gotten to say no a lot here and explain my no votes in committee and on the floor. But yes, they are trying to dismantle public schools, absolutely.
And what are you hearing from your constituents? And I'm one of them, living in the Catalina foothills. You are... you are my state representative. And what are you hearing from folks like me who say this is ridiculous?
Yes, I am hearing that they're saying this is ridiculous quite a bit. I'm trying to talk with, you know, constituents as much as I can, and they're all just saying, how are you holding up? And how are you dealing with just, you know, standing up for public schools day in and day out? And the good thing is that I say, well, my 10 years as a public high school teacher have prepared me so well for this job, because some of the bad behavior and, you know, unbecoming of a state legislator we're seeing here. So, and I'm, you know, I've had lots of experiences with that. So, although my students have never been as rude as I've seen people be here, I just keep saying we need to be documenting everything that's happening and then telling all of our neighbors what they're trying to do to public schools and other other things that they're trying to kind of dismantle. And I think it's going to lay the groundwork for us, for the Democrats, to flip the House and the Senate in 2024.
We're speaking with Nancy Gutierrez, a freshman state lawmaker representing the foothills in a large part of the Tucson area. It's now LD 18 under kind of the redistricting. A lot of people, Nancy, have no idea what their number, legislative district number
yes.
is. But something you just said kind of caught my ear about
okay.
the about people being civil up there. Was that a real eye opener to you that even the checking good manners at the door?
It was. I mean, I have to say, for the most part, people are cordial. There's one way we can go to the stairs or to the elevators. I always take the stairs here. So I go through where all of the Republican lawmakers have their offices and I say hello to their assistants and to them. A lot of them do the same, but there's definitely behavior that is just, it's petty and it's not productive at all. So
where are we with getting some kind of a budget? And won't Democrats like yourself, are you going to have any say in this or no?
That's a great question, too. It remains to be seen. I mean, no one has talked to any of us about the budget. I will say that. They're just not coming to our side to ask us to participate in the budget process at all. But we're hopeful. I'm a ranking member on regulatory affairs, and I meet with the chairman Hendricks, who is a Republican, weekly. I think he gets a little flack from his caucus for meeting with a Democrat, but it can be done, is what I'm trying to say. We can speak to each other and we can hammer out a budget. It's actually what we're here to do. That is our sole purpose, highest intention is to get a budget done. And I'll tell you what, as a teacher, I would really appreciate my summer break. So, I would love to get a budget done by the end of May and, move on and not have our state thinking that we're going to be in a government shutdown, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I really wonder if this is going to be one of those sessions that will go all the way to the end of the fiscal year. Not only will it cut into your summer vacation, but there may be even talk of a state shutdown.
Oh gosh, that would be unacceptable. I mean, we just cannot allow that to happen. So I hope they don't go that far. Although when we look at the confirmation hearings for Governor Hobbs's,
With Dr. Cullen. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, and they're not even doing the hearing committees. I mean, they're prolonging that as long as possible. And it really does hinder the whole process here. So we shall see.
One thing, Nancy, that really is interesting about all these efforts there's an effort to ban certain books and
yes.
all these different things that many would consider kind of extreme when it comes to education.
Yes.
You have a Democrat governor, Governor Hobbs, who's already, I think, had a record number of vetoes at this point in the legislature. This stuff is not going to, I'm just predicting if some of that reaches her desk, it's dead on arrival, Nancy Gutierrez.
Yes, that's what allows me to sleep at night, to be honest with you, because when, I'm on the education committee, I'm very grateful for that. And when these horrible bills, like having guns on campuses and banning books, and I mean, just so many pass out of our committee because they pass on party lines, I sleep at night because we have Governor Hobbs and she won't allow these harmful bills to be passed into law. And I'm so very grateful.
All right.
They're dangerous.
All right, Nancy Gutierrez, thank you for sharing some time and some of your reflections as a freshman lawmaker on our program. And we'll check in with you hopefully before the end of the session. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. State Representative Nancy Gutierrez, State House in Legislative District 18, a large part of Tucson, and that includes the Catalina foothills. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's website looks really good these days. looks about as good as the pastries in the case. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, home of the Danish Kringle, open at 6:30 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, closed on Monday. We'll have Shelley Fishman up with us, with giving us, let's put it this way, a neutral position with his thumb. We'll be right back.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And just in time, you could set your clock by it. Shelley Fishman on Tuesday, and just in time for the show, guess what? The market has turned negative.
Yeah, it's a little positive now.
Can I come back tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, this is so weird. The market was up at 1,400 points earlier because there was a lot of confidence that there was not going to be a major contagion when it comes to the banking industry,
and
right?
The inflation report came out this morning, and it was right where most people expected it to be, which again, inflation keeps moderating each month. It looks like what the Fed is doing, at least as it relates to controlling inflation, seems to be having an effect.
Banking
and then
is
there's banking.
Yeah, then there's banking, and this kind of came out of left field, but maybe we shouldn't have been surprised, because when you start screwing around with interest rates, banking is on the front lines.
Well, that's exactly right, Bill. One of the things that people don't understand about how banks work, especially how smaller banks work, is that they borrow money every day to keep themselves liquid. And then they invest a lot of their longer-term liquidity in very conservative ways so that they can stay ahead, if you will, of what it costs them to the cost that they pay their depositors. But they only want to stay a little bit ahead of that because anything else might be viewed as more risky. The problem when you're buying, for instance, 10-year treasuries, is that when the interest rates go up, then the treasuries that you've bought are not returning for you the kind of interest rates that you need to keep pace with the inflation that your customers want you to pay them for.
So the cost of business goes up.
Cost of business goes up, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't had this kind of inflation in the management experience of most people who are running banks right now.
Right, because it's over 40 years we haven't had anything like this.
That said, there's no excuse for total incompetence.
And writing yourselves checks, like was the case with Silicon Valley Bank, writing yourself checks on the day that they basically go under for bonuses.
Yeah, that didn't look great. So what happened over the weekend was the Treasury Department got involved. Actually, had a Zoom call with all members of Congress who wanted to take part. To alert the Congress as to what the Treasury Department, the FDIC, was going to do on Monday and what the president would announce. And what the president said was, we've taken over that bank. And all depositors, regardless of what the amount of their deposits are,
will be
protected. Mm-hmm. However, he didn't say that the investors in the bank were going to be covered. So that there is and it's more than an academic difference here, the funds that the FDIC has accumulated will pay for any shortfalls in the depositors' the recovery of funds.
Even over $250,000.
And some of these depositors, because this is Silicon Valley.
Right.
And a lot of the depositors there are companies that have to make payroll from those deposits.
Yes.
And these are very capital intensive companies. So, we'll talk about the bubble that they live in Silicon Valley in a moment. But just protecting the depositors is an important piece of what Biden announced. Now, the owners of the bank, the stockholders of the bank, are going to lose what they lose. So there are theoretically no taxpayer dollars that have gone into this bailout. That's sort of a good thing. But it raises a whole question, Bill, of are we in a bailout kind of economy where nobody has any risk anymore?
And this is the question that came up and still comes up. And the question is, Shelley Fishman, why should taxpayers bail out these banks?
Because if we don't bail out the banks, the contagion of what would happen if banks started falling in a kind of
dominoes
way would be just disaster for the economy. And more people would be hurt during that disaster than will be hurt by whatever the cost of these bailouts is. And it brings up a philosophical point. We privatize profits. but socialized losses.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you have to say, well, how do you pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do the same thing with lots of things we pay for.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tax enough to recover the money necessary to pay for the things our Congress has said the American society wants to pay for. Now, we can have a whole other discussion as to whether or not those things should be paid for, and you know, whether you start with taxes and then do programs, or start with programs and then do taxes. But in any case, when it comes to things like the banking industry, we discovered a decade or so ago that having banks fail isn't a good thing. And so, at least in the banking sector, and there are some other sectors as well, we have allowed private investment to take the profits, but we are holding the society essentially ransom for when management decisions go wrong.
We bailed out the airlines during the pandemic.
We bailed out the airlines during the pandemic.
Yeah.
We bailed out lots of companies during and in lots of sectors during the Great Recession. In some of those cases, we actually made money.
Mm-hmm.
Because we bought the stocks. But this isn't anything on that scale yet. What's happened in the markets, however, is investors were already feeling somewhat uncertain about the economy. We're now in a position of saying, what's going to happen? Moody's then came along and said, well, there's six more banks that we think are in trouble, and there may be more. And so you got Friday, which should have been a good day in the market because we had a really good jobs report on Thursday morning.
Yeah, that would have been if this banking thing hadn't come up Friday, you wouldn't have seen the market go down 500 or 600 points.
And then this morning, we had a really good inflation report.
Yes.
So the economy keeps on chugging along, as we say in Brooklyn, irregardless of the fact that there's inflation. The Fed is doing what it needs to do the one thing it really needs to do, which is control inflation. It has poor tools at best to control inflation. Those tools right now are via interest rates. And what we know is that nothing happens in isolation in the economy, not in the world economy, or certainly not in our national economy. A macroeconomic setting. So when the Fed is increasing interest rates, those sectors of the economy that are interest rate sensitive, like housing and banking, take a beating. And that just raises so many questions that the market just doesn't know how to react to. When we came in mm-hmm. the segment on the mm-hmm. air, we were about flat on the Dow and a little bit positive on the S&P. But the investment community isn't quite sure how to react. Now, the Fed was supposed to meet this week. At some point, it got changed to next week.
Mm.
Don't ask me how that happened.
Mm.
But next week, the Open Market Committee will meet. And Powell is going to have to, and his gang are going to have to make a decision about what they do. If mm-hmm. they keep on raising interest rates, they put more and more banks in jeopardy.
Right.
If they
delicate balance here.
It's a very delicate balance that got. It had been a delicate balance.
Yeah, it's even more so.
But now it's even more so. So
there's some speculation that they will not actually raise rates at this meeting.
From your mouth
mm-hmm.
to God's ears. However,
yeah.
I'm not holding my breath
no.
for that. A quarter of a point would certainly be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's guessing that between now and then anything would happen that would incent the Fed to go higher than that.
No.
But what we have to look at and what Moody's is looking at and what the FDIC needs to look at is, are there other banks that have not managed their assets in an inflationary environment? And if so, where are those banks and what needs to be done to encourage them to start doing the right thing?
Because there may be, well, Moody says there's six, but they covered themselves. they generally said that the industry is really, it's a watchful waiting for the entire industry.
They did. And you know, that's honesty.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the fact that when stocks go up or down, if nothing fundamental has changed, mm-hmm. then you don't have to really worry about it. Well, something fundamental has changed now. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got somewhat of a crisis in the banking industry. The Fed's policies are bleeding through into industries that I don't think they anticipated were as vulnerable as they are. Mm-hmm. And so now we've got the Dow below, you know, it's beginning of the year levels. The S&P is pushing that. So the gains that we've had in 3 months have evaporated, and that's really discouraging.
Really is. Okay, Shelley, we will let you go on that note. We'll see what happens with the Fed meeting. Was that meeting, do you think, pushed back because of the banking situation?
No.
Can they do something like that?
About 2 weeks ago, it all of a sudden moved from the 15th of March to the 22nd, and I
calendared
my head
a week
and said,
later.
I lied on the air.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Shell, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Kevin Dahl from the Tucson City Council is my guest right after we take our break. Very good.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. They have the naming rights to our studio. We're at the Bustos Media Tucson Complex, and we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 3384 East River Road. This is a great time of year to start spring gardening. I think that the really cold weather, maybe the freezes are in the rearview mirror. I'm hoping so, because like you, if you love to garden, and I know a lot of our listeners do, this is the time now that I think you can feel comfortable in putting some beautiful things in the ground or in beautiful pots, which like the Talavera pottery from Green Things in Zocalo Village there, got some beautiful things imported from Mexico. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are their websites. They're open daily, and Green Things open, well, 53rd year of business. Kevin Dahl is with us in studio. Kevin was born in the District of Columbia. He graduated from Prescott College in 1990. His professional experience includes working as an Arizona program manager for the National Parks Conservation Association and an adjunct faculty at Prescott College. He took office Monday, December 6, 2021. Seems like an eternity ago, Kevin Dahl, doesn't it?
It sure does.
With all that's happened in your life, it's great to see you. You look great. You've lost 60 pounds.
50 pounds.
50 pounds.
Thank you for exaggerating, though.
Well, yes, you're about right, I guess, where you are right now. You look, I'm looking at this picture on your Kevin Dahl bio for the city of Tucson. There's a picture for all the council members, and I can see the big difference.
I got to get a new photo, it seems like.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, but the good news, 3 months ago, the doctor said your throat cancer, you were cancer-free. I know you've got another checkup tomorrow. I'm sure things will continue down that path. But it emotionally, it's lifted this huge cloud over you, hasn't it?
Well, it sure has. And I'm, you know, I feel like I'm a brother and sister now to everybody who's faced and gotten through cancer and cancer treatment. And I want to take this opportunity to do another plug for the HPV vaccine. My throat cancer was caused by
HPV.
Yeah, human papillomavirus.
Okay.
A sexually transmitted disease that started in the 70s and 80s. I caught it that long ago. And in some people, it comes back as cancer. And there's a lot of throat and neck cancer among men, uterus cancer and cervical cancer among women that's caused by this. We now have a vaccine. When it first came out, it was just for teenagers, but now up to age 45, you can get this vaccine. It's the only cancer that you can take a vaccine to prevent. So that's my plug.
So again, this, just to clarify, this was like sexually transmitted disease?
Yes. Yeah. One of the...
That was like, that shows up many decades later?
Yeah. You don't get cured of it, but you treat it and it goes away and it's in your system, and sometimes it can come back and cause cancer. So it's best never to get it. And since there's a vaccine... Anybody 45 and younger, fathers, make sure your teenagers get that into their health care plan.
Good advice, Kevin Dahl. All right, so much going on with the city of Tucson. In my stack of stuff, it seems like my folder gets bigger by the day. It's almost like there's something new on the front page almost every day. And the big story, kind of the marquee story, is the climate change blueprint that was unanimously approved by you and your colleagues. And I do want to make a little plug here that we will have the mayor, Mayor Romero, will be talking about that and economic development in our monthly CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor. That will be Thursday at 12:30. You like this blueprint?
I do like this plan. I campaigned on the issue of climate change, and I think it's very important that the city take a leading role in this. And we haven't waited for the plan. We've done a lot of activities preparing for electric vehicles and charging stations. We started a solar empowerment plan to bring solar energy to homeowners who don't have credit or can't afford it, so that they can get a grant for part of it and get help with the credit. The payback schedule is less than their electrical bill.
Really?
Yeah. So, but this is one of a couple of hundred things that we should be doing. And this plan, we took more than a year. We had lots of stakeholder involvement. We're missing big chunks in that we're not talking about water in it. we're doing a separate planning process for water.
Would you have liked to seen water in under this, or are you comfortable with the separate umbrella?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the separate umbrella, and I understand why we're doing two processes. One of the big things Tucson does is we're the water utility for Tucson and people beyond, and it's a big deal, and it's a thing we can affect. And I will say it, we're in crisis.
No kidding. The
major source of our water is the Colorado River.
Amen.
And, every day, every week in the paper, we hear reports. And so we have to take a real close, serious look at water conservation, et cetera. The other thing that's not in it as much is the zero waste plan. We have a commitment to reduce the waste that the city of Tucson produces to 50% by 2030 and 50% of the city by 2050. I might have those numbers wrong.
But so is this the creating a zero waste Tucson in which 100% of all garbage and other solid waste is diverted from landfills?
Yes.
Well, How soon would that happen?
Well, things are happening now. I have to give huge kudos to my colleague Steve Kozicik for making sure that glass is not...
Yeah, we've talked to him now for several months about that, and that
plastic
plan is just taken off.
It's amazing. We've just about to open two more drop-off spots for the plastic on the east side, on the south side, and we are negotiating with a company to build their second factory here in Tucson. It's bringing a positive business that will fight climate change and the plastic pollution that is just pretty nasty stuff. We should lock them up in blocks and build good things with them.
Getting back to the zero waste, one step of the plan proposes coordinating with the trash hauling community to establish a citywide curbside collection program just for organic waste, like food garbage.
Yes, a big portion of what we are putting in the landfill that would be beneficial to not put in the landfill, not just to not put it in the landfill, but because we can use it, is landscaping waste and food waste, both pre-consumer and after you and I have finished our meal. And these things can be composted and turned into healthy soil that we can use and are using. There is an existing program at the Los Reales Sustainability Center, formerly the landfill, working with compost cats from the U of A who monitor it and help educate restaurants whose compostable food waste is picked up. That's going into city parks. We need to expand that program. We put in a big grant to provide more pickup or drop-off points for compostable food waste. We're looking at changing the brush and bulky that we do twice a year, splitting them between brush and other bulky items, tires, mattresses, and stuff, so that the brush can be segregated, chipped, and then turned into compost. That we'll get great benefits once we get these programs started.
One part of this, and that I hear kind of push back, Kevin Dahl, one of the components, and it's been really highly publicized, was about the tree planting.
Yeah.
That some people feel, what in the world are we planting trees for when we have this water piece that is? It just doesn't feel compatible to people.
Yeah, and if we're talking about trees that are from the Pacific Northwest or from the Midwest, that's certainly true. They need
giant
a lot of water.
Saguaros, sequoia trees.
Sequoia.
Or something.
No, yeah, but we're focused on the local native trees that exist and thrive on the amount of rainfall that we get. And it's easy to concentrate rainfall with basins and water harvesting. So, yes, some potable water might be used in some situations when you're establishing trees, but it's a great investment. They provide shade. They sequester carbon. They delight us with beauty. They provide habitat for the birds that we love. They provide places where our kids can climb and explore. I'm a huge proponent of trees, and I think the argument that we shouldn't use water for trees means that we'd be living in a concrete wasteland. So, and it's not only trees. We need to be planting the understory, shrubby things too, and cactus that need very little water. They also sequester carbon quite a bit.
Mm. Okay, it's time to take a break, but just wanted to follow up on the water piece of this, Kevin Dahl. The Tucson Water is working this year to get more water use reduced by nearly, I was surprised at this number, 8,000 households. That's almost half of them up in the area where I live, up in the foothills, that each consume more than 250% of the annual household's annual use.
This is the first step in our drought preparedness plan, and it's a low-hanging fruit. We're trying to reach people who use a lot of water, and that might be because they have a huge swimming pool or they're planting a landscaping that looks like the Midwest, and providing free water audits so that we can work with them to find, do you have a leak that you don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
Or the cost-benefit analysis of putting a cover on your pool, it makes it warmer, extends the use, keeps leaves out of your pool, and it prevents almost all of the evaporation. So there are solutions, and you working with the biggest water users first makes a lot of sense.
All right, well, pause right here. Kevin Dahl is with us, Tucson City Councilman, and we'll have more with Kevin right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. And it's even more beautiful right now after a very robust winter rainy season and some snow over there. And the Gila National Wilderness looking really good. So if you're thinking about a weekend, maybe a midweek getaway, maybe you're retired and you're looking for something to do, get in the car, get in the truck, take a three-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl with us, and we try to bring Kevin in every 4 to 6 weeks to talk about what's been going on in the city. And just seems like there's so much lately. We talked, could have talked probably, Kevin, for 5 hours about the whole, the climate plan, because what is it, 155 page document. But anyway, there's, you're looking for some of our listeners to weigh in about towing companies.
Yes. There was an article in the Star about a bad situation where I'll call it like it is, a predatory towing company. This is not the towing company that you call to help pick right. up a car or something. This is someone who drives around looking for cars in the wrong place, and they tow them without your
what?
Knowledge. And you have to find where they are and pay some money. And even if you think you're in the right, you have to pay the money to get your car back.
And oh my, I hadn't heard about this. They drive around looking for business.
and they might have relationships with places where it's posted, and it might not be posted very well.
Uh-huh.
They're not required to take a photograph of how you're parked wrong. They're not required to be open 24 hours if you need to get your car. They're not required to release your car subject to, mediation on, they have your car hostage. So there are other municipalities that have ordinances that prevent this or make it better. You know, we're coming up with our version of that, and we're going to have a public hearing probably in April. We're going to hear from the towing companies, and there's reasonable concerns. We don't want to make business hard for the majority of towing companies.
But you want to hear from victims.
We want to hear from people who've been victimized by this.
How should people get a hold of you if there's somebody listening right now and say, yeah, that happened to me?
Through our Tucson Ward 3 office, and you can look it up on the web and call my office or email me. We'd love to hear your stories, and if you're mad about it, there'll be an opportunity for you to come tell us about it. And we want to see what the situations were. We have several stories. A police officer's son's car was towed, and it was not properly towed, and the father was out of town. The son had to borrow cash from a friend, and the next day get his car out of hock. And once you pay the cash, you're not getting that back. So
when you say not properly towed, maybe there was damage even to the automobile or the truck.
There could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know in that situation, but the son's story that he wasn't parked in the wrong spot, and there's no way of knowing because they're not required to document that they've taken someone from the spot that they shouldn't have parked in.
And to get the vehicle out, they could probably ask anything.
Well,
any amount of money,
We want to look at the prices of that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we'd love to hear from your listeners who have been in the victim's role in this situation.
There's no ordinance right now about this.
There's some ordinances about towing, but not to the extent of preventing predatory. And Phoenix is much better than us, and we've looked at other municipalities. We've reached out to the towing companies. We want to make sure that victims have a voice in this as well.
What would you like our listeners to know about this upcoming election? This is an agreement to increase Tucson Electric Power bills to fund the undergrounding of future utility line projects that goes before the voters in May.
Yeah, this is an interesting situation. The city of Tucson has a franchise agreement with the electrical utility. We have these with all utilities so that they have the ability to put their lines on easements and on city property. Pretty standard stuff. This time, a small fee is being added
to the bill, and it will only go
to people and users of TEP power in the city of Tucson. that will be used for two purposes. The major purpose is we have a gateway aesthetic ordinance where we don't want more utility lines on our gateway corridors. And the one in question is Keno Boulevard and Campbell Boulevard, major entrance to the city from the airport, where we require new utilities to underground. It's more expensive. The TEP is willing to comply, but they need a source of money. The State Corporation Commission, which regulates them, say you can't use ratepayer money across the board. So by confining it to city users this way, we can do that. And it solves the problem and prevents them doing other things that would be worse. Like they could avoid the corridor by blasting this huge power line through neighborhoods. We've added to this some measures for climate change. We'll be able to use some of this money to, in cooperation with TEP, to do the climate change actions that we have in our plan, some of them. It's not a lot of money. The typical TEP ratepayer residential will be added $1 a month. It's a franchise agreement by state law. It has to go to the voters. So we have a special election May 28th. I encourage your listeners, it's being published for the next 25 days in every copy of the Arizona Daily Star. Again, by law, we have to do that. So they can read it word for word. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to contact me. I'd be glad to talk to you about it. It's something I endorse. I think we need to solve this problem of the gateway undergrounding. And I think becoming a better partner with TEP on climate change are both two real positive things.
How do you vote on something like this?
Well, it will all be by mail. So if you're registered to vote and you're in the city of Tucson, you will receive a sample ballot with some other information. And then before May 28th, you'll also get the ballot that you can fill out and return by mail.
I had a quick question from a listener, Kevin. Please ask Kevin about the first line of the from a page of directly from the Tucson City of Tucson climate plan. Is it true that it does not get hot in the, quote, white neighborhoods? Just curious. What does that mean?
Well, there is a heat index.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's an interesting map. If you overlay the heat index map of Pima County, it goes beyond our borders, with census data for people's income, the hotter areas are in the poorer areas, and the cooler areas are in the better off. And I think trees are the simple explanation, vegetation. In poor neighborhoods, they don't water trees. They don't have the extra cash to, you know, they're concerned about their water bills. And in areas where people have lots of cash, they do water lawns and trees. And that produces a cooler ambient temperature.
All right. Let's see if we can get another quick question in. Getting some good comments here, Kevin, that are coming into me on the email from Scott. Please ask Kevin, do they plan to plant trees on golf courses the city owns? Older trees are being removed, but it does not seem the new ones are replacing them.
That's an interesting question, and that hasn't come across my desk at all. It's something I will investigate with the Parks Department. We've been talking about replacing older trees on many of the city parks, and you don't replace a huge tree with a huge tree. The expense would be enormous. And so you do replace trees with smaller trees.
Good point from listener Scott.
Thanks, Scott, for bringing that to my attention, and we'll ask about it.
All right, Kevin, until April when we'll see you again, best of luck to you, and always a pleasure
to see you.
Thank you very much. All right, on behalf of Councilman Kevin Dahl and John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, I hope everybody has a really good afternoon. See you tomorrow.